It's an honor. You are incredible. And how blessed are we to have you today, David Meltzer. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. And it's great to have you every day on the mission to empower so many people with the philosophies and the foundational principles of Napoleon Hill for almost 100 years that have proven the successful perspective, the positive mental attitude that is necessary to live a passionate, purposeful, and profitable life.
Yes, I agree. And that's why we're here. We're here to help everybody watching this do exactly the same. So we're going to have so much fun today, David. I want to, you know, many people know about you. They know your story. But I want to go a little deeper today to get to know the real David, okay, for those that are watching. For example, in the intro video, I love that intro video that you have. It actually, when I first watched it, it brought tears to my eyes because it shows another side of you that not everybody knows. You have such a humanitarian heart. You are so humble. You're one of the most humble people I've ever met in my life. And you inspire me. Like, no matter what you go through, you just keep showing up. You just keep, somehow you keep showing up no matter what. So, and I'm just so grateful that I get to work with you.
That is so nice. And it's interesting because many years ago, let's just say about two decades ago, I don't think anybody would have described me that way, just to be honest. You talked about humility. And one of my favorite quotes, which is derived from actually Outwitting the Devil, which is you're either humble or you're about to be. And I think knowing the opposition is always there within ourselves and outside ourselves with the circumstances that exist every day. And for me, that humility comes from my faith and the wisdom of people like Napoleon Hill, people like Cleona O'Hara, people like Joe Vitale, people like Bob Proctor, and many, many more. And wisdom is all around us, especially today, so accessible. And we're making it more accessible at the Napoleon Hill Institute. But what makes the Napoleon Hill Institute and the people that are here today unique is it's the combination of the wisdom and faith. Faith that there is something bigger than us and that leads us to humility, that there's something that has all the information we need and all the source power that we need. And it is people like you and people at the Institute that are helping other people figure out what are we doing here with all of that amazing information and amazing energy, that positivity that will lead us to a better place, a better position, and a better situation, regardless of the circumstances. And I know you know my mom passed a few days ago.
Yes.
And people ask me, Dave, why are you showing up to these things? And I said, because this is how not only am I healing, I'm given a unique opportunity to heal by sharing, but also to honor my mom. I spoke of, for the first time in my life, I'm 57 years old. I know the internet says I'm older and my looks say I'm even older, but I'm actually 57. And I've never had my heart broken. And the understanding of that is that, one, how blessed am I to have a mom like you, Cleona, for your children that protect, promote, love, and perfect me. But even more importantly, how lucky am I that this is the first time that I've had my heart truly broken. And it was because I lost my mom. And then that led me to something that I learned from Napoleon Hill and all the works and all the content that I've read, that I'm so blessed, not only because it's the first time and I had my mom protecting, promoting, love, and perfecting, but the cement that is beneath my feet was formulated, all the ingredients, by not only my mother protecting, promoting, love, and perfecting me, but something bigger than me that loves me, protects me, promotes me, an omniscient, all-powerful source that makes me an incredible resource to show up today, that loves me, protects me, promotes me more than my mom. And everybody has that. And I am so excited to be here to help amplify what Napoleon Hill offers all of us for eternity forever.
Wow. David, I know I was going to mention it a little later, but you brought it up, and everyone in the chat and the comments, you know, are saying that their condolences are with you, and I'm sorry. Obviously, we're sorry for your loss. And it also makes me think about, you mentioned Bob Proctor, and that's the connection that we have. You know, he was your mentor. He was my mentor. And then we had that moment with the pen that he gave me, and I gave you my Bob pen. And so I'm thinking about your mom right now, but I'm also thinking about Bob and what he would say when someone had a loss or they were going through grief. And he would say, move with the waves of grief. He would tell them, move with the waves of grief. But he also had the same attitude as you, and he still showed up. He still showed up, even when he lost someone in his life that he loved so much. So my heart's with you. We're so grateful that you showed up. And so that was going to be one of my questions, David. How does someone do what you're doing right now? How does someone move through grief and keep going?
Well, taking those same lessons from Bob, right? It's waves. And, you know, beyond the initial shock, I lost all function for approximately 24 hours. I, for the first time in over 18 years, I've meditated every day. When we talk about thinking and growing rich and being still and being at ease, which is what our 14-day discipline gives us, is this idea of ease. I couldn't find it for 24 hours. And I tried to meditate my way through this when it first happened. And I felt as if when I started, I was very resistant to meditation, stillness, and ease. And I told my wife, I said, wow, I feel like I've never meditated before. And when the first time they wanted me to try meditating, I'm like, this is a waste of time. What am I doing here, sitting here? But again, once I got to ease, using the tools that I was given from the wisdom and the faith that Napoleon Hill and the Institute gives others, I was able to start moving forward and prioritizing again the non-negotiable behaviors in my life, and to have this purpose, this definiteness of purpose on my mission to empower over a billion people to be abundantly happy, which means they make a lot of money so they can help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. And I have waves of grief within the context of when I show up, and they may show up in this interview and I may break down, which has happened while I'm showing up. But for me, that's okay, because this is how I heal through those waves. And I'm shortening the distance with the wisdom and faith of people like Napoleon Hill and Bob Proctor, shortening in the distance of resistance that I have created to this ease, this peace that my mom would love me to continue to illustrate and to perpetuate, which is why she put so much effort and time into me and my siblings so that her legacy could carry on like Napoleon Hill's.
Wow. You are literally giving the full formula of what this whole week is about, which is growing rich with peace of mind. And you're giving us the full life example of how we can remain at ease with peace of mind, even through one of the worst times of our lives. And so what I feel is underneath all of this, and you mentioned it just now, it's your definite purpose. It's your, and also your intro video, it talks about you need to know your why, your what, and then the how. So you did mention it just now, but for those that are listening, what is your why? What is your what?
For me, in that order, most people live in nothingness. And Napoleon Hill talks about this, not only in Think and Grow Rich, but in Outwitting the Devil, not only the definiteness of purpose to take us out of the nothingness. I have a very coarse example. I call it living your life like a tube. My uncle who passed away used to say, most people, Dave, they live like tubes, food in, food out. No definite purpose in their life at all. He was a huge Napoleon Hill fan. And the other thing is the control of impulse. And so when we have these substantial losses in our life, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual losses in our life, we have to control our impulse as well as maintain the what do we want today? And so for me, one of the things I've learned from Napoleon Hill and working with the Institute is within the context of definite purpose comes non-negotiable behavior, non-circumstantial behavior. So I knew when my mom passed that I was going to get a minimum amount of sleep. One of the first people I called was my sleep coach to ask, how am I going to make sure I get a minimum of 7 hours sleeping? Because it's non-negotiable, meaning no matter what the circumstances, the weather, the interest rates, delays, or even my mom passing, how am I going to make sure I get every day of my life a minimum of 7 hours to recover and access my higher source to be a better resource? And then two, what should I do with my health? Non-negotiably, according to the circumstances, it doesn't matter. I'm going to have a minimum of an hour a day on my health. Then my family, then my faith, then my finance. Then I study time and I study relativity as well, aligned with the teachings of Napoleon Hill and the Institute, that discipline that's necessary for consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential, regardless of circumstances. And that equals about 11 and a half hours each day. Now I move to understanding the circumstances of the day and prioritizing what do I want today, the what, in accordance to the circumstances of the day, by, as Napoleon Hill has empowered me, by the meaning of the losses, the setbacks, the failures, mistakes, the defining moments, the historical relevances, and align them with the divine direction of where I think I want to be or better. And once I determine my divine direction, that definiteness of purpose, and control my impulse by utilizing a meaning that is not limiting my future, but accelerating me towards something better, I now ask the second question, who? Who can I help and who can help me? The two fastest and easiest ways to get to where I want to be is always asking for help and helping others. Then, as the video suggested, Cleona, that how can I utilize time with not only the non-negotiable behavior, but negotiable behavior, planned, unplanned, paid for, unpaid for time, all utilizing, of course, a common denominator of sleep, of recovery and access as well. And when we can do that, I know, number one, my non-negotiables prioritize my activities, guaranteed, no matter what the circumstances, but I've elevated my capability of prioritizing my negotiable activity according to the circumstances of each day, which changes the relationship with my why. So instead of, like most people, without definiteness of purpose, without this impulse control, they're searching for something they already have. Where utilizing the what, the who, the how, and the now incorporates applying my why, living in spirit with intelligent intuition, intellect that allows me to apply every day my best self, to apply my source, to become a greater resource in my life. So when you know your what, your who, your how, and your now, you're applying your why. Instead of living in nothingness, when you know your what, it's a possibility. You know your who, it's a probability. When you know your how, it becomes your perspective. When we know our now, it becomes our reality. And our reality becomes better when we're applying our why to the reality that is circumstantial and non-circumstantial, knowing the only certainty that exists, as Napoleon Hill teaches us, is within ourselves, and the only certainty outside of us is time. We are only certain that tomorrow there'll be 24 hours, the next day there'll be 24 hours. And what are you going to do to apply your why to the 24 hours? One other guarantee God gives us, as I learned with my mom, we are all given God's guarantee of 24 hours a day, except for the last day of our life, we'll be cheated. And I know my mom was cheated some hours out of the last day, but she had lived every day to help other people in selfless, humble in existence. And only thing I wish for my mom is I wish she would have been a better student of Napoleon Hill in understanding principles that could have provided the selflessness of selfishness, because my mom was absolutely not a selfish person, didn't take care of herself to take care of others, but always gave to others. And I want to remind people, as a testament to my mom's legacy, that selflessness comes from selfishness with the right intention.
Wow. Wow. Incredible. Incredible. I'm going to go back and replay this because I need to examine that formula.
Well, especially you're my younger sister, so I'm here for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm like, this is what I need to work on. I need to work on this. I need to work on that. And everybody watching, I'm sure you're agreeing with me. You just have this way about you. And yes, of course, the principles, you live and breathe Napoleon Hill's work. And these principles are true and tested. But you also have your own ways, like being a student of the calendar. I didn't learn that. I'm definitely one of your top pupils now and students. When it comes to non-negotiables and being a student of my calendar, I'm a beginner. So I'm starting off there. I'm very right-brained and emotional, David, as you know. And so now I know I have to tap into my left brain to really get things done. So thank you for that. What is your mom's name? Just so we can all honor her today as we're talking about her.
Yeah, my mom's name is Karen. And her maiden name is Goldberg. So Karen Goldberg is my mother's name.
Wow. And I'm sure for all the women and the moms watching today, we all wish and hope that our sons can speak the way you're speaking today about us. So thank you. Thank you for being a great example.
Can I add one thing that's really important to me? That's a lesson for everyone when we're talking about moms, especially single moms or moms who took the lion's share of the work. And my mom did. She raised 6 kids, worked 2 jobs, packed my dinner in a paper bag and drove me around as a second grade teacher, filling up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat. Every day for the last 18 years, I have told my mom 4 things every day, whether it be text, email, phone call. And this is something I encourage everyone to do to their significant parental figure. I told my mom every day that I am happy, I am healthy, I love you and appreciate you forever. And I actually keep my mom's phone. She's been on my plan for 30 some years, whenever they invented cell phones since I was in the And I told my wife that I'm keeping her phone and her number. I'm going to have to change the plan because I just need 1 text message. So I don't want to overpay, of course. Napoleon Hill talks about being thrifty, not scared. but I text her every day now to that phone. And I'm going to keep her phone to remind everybody all a parent wants to know for their child is they're happy, healthy, and they love and appreciate them forever. And mom, I certainly do.
Yes. Yes, you do. Wow. Now you've moved me as well as everybody watching. So since we're going to go down this road naturally, you know, my vision and my goal is really to help lead the women's division here at Napoleon Hill Institute with Amy. And one of the departments, divisions, whatever you want to call it, will be for single moms. I'm going to put that out there now for you in memory of your mom, in memory of also our dear friend, Matt Higgins, you know, his mom, his story. We will create a division for single moms and we will, whatever comes through the Institute, a percentage will go to helping single moms that need a hand, not a hand out, a hand up. And they will have education with us. They will have coaching with us. That's my plan. That's what I want to focus on. So there's no coincidence why we're all working together, right, David?
Yeah. Well, if you're going to make an investment just from someone from experience that have been around the biggest billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainment, the best investment you can make is in a single mom. They have the most capability to get shit done. Excuse my language.
Yes, we do.
I like to invest in people who can get shit done. And single moms are at the top of my list. If you want something done, done well, done powerfully, ask a single mom. I don't know how people look at my life and go, how do you do what you do? You do so much. You're involved in so many things. I'm literally at the infancy state compared to what my mom was able to do. And you look down her journey And I am still trying to figure out, because she wasn't a student of her calendar, I'm still trying to figure out the system she used. For now, I'm sticking to student of the calendar to try to catch up to my mom.
I'm a single mom, and I know exactly she was not probably a student of your process. It's just, honestly, it's an attitude of just figure it out. I'll just figure it out. That's the auto suggestion. I will just figure it out. For example, right now we're live. My son's upstairs. I have a babysitter because he was feeling sick. And you just have to figure it out. Do whatever it takes. So I have an attitude, and I'm sure your mom had the same attitude. I'll just figure it out. And we somehow do. On that note, you travel so much, David. Like, I look at your schedule, I'm like, holy smokes, how does he do that? Can you give everyone just a look into your life? I know this week is an unusual circumstance, but what is a week like in your life? What do you do in 7 days?
Yeah, I think looking at number one, the non-negotiables, that travel is just a circumstance. Even during this week, my mom passed on Wednesday. I went to San Francisco and back on Thursday. The funeral on Friday, took the red eye to Chicago from Friday, the funeral to Chicago, came back to sit Shiva in the Jewish tradition to honor my mom on Saturday night. And so I'm in over 200 cities a year. And so instead of looking at travel as an interference to my potential, I look at my capabilities and utilize travel in order to accelerate, aggregate, and compound exponentially the outcomes that I desire. It's part of my purposeful plan. And so where other people, I talk about empty milers versus extra milers. And I think this is true in alignment with travel in my daily activities. I am an empty miler. And the difference between an empty miler and an extra miler is I used to be an extra miler. I used to go the extra mile every once in a while. And then I would use my effort, the extra mile that I went every once in a while, to justify not where I was, but where I wasn't. I would tell people, oh, I did this for 18 hours and I did this for 16 hours. And, you know, I did this, and I would use that to justify why I wasn't where I wanted to be, especially when I lost everything 18 years ago and went bankrupt, lost over. I used the extra mile as an excuse. And then I realized that I wanted to live the empty mile. And there's a very silly analogy that I use that proves the empty mile. The empty mile says 2 minutes a day, 7 days a week is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. Now, to do it, it's very hard because it's contrary to human nature, because it's hard to stay consistent when there's no evidence to say that your consistent behavior is getting you to where you want to be or better. And sometimes, like in my life and in yours, I know there's evidence that contrary to saying, hey, Cleona, your consistent behavior is getting you to where you want to be or better. In fact, the evidence is contrary. And so for me, the empty mile is best exemplified by a kid studying Spanish. I've never met one kid who studied Spanish 15 minutes a day that didn't get an A. I know tons of kids that studied 15 hours on Sunday before the Monday test and didn't get an A, and then used it as an excuse saying, but mom, I studied 15 hours on Sunday before the Monday test. I don't know why I didn't get an A. Because you're an extra miler, not an empty miler. And I am a consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit person who pursues my potential, not other people's potential, not what's missing, not what I don't have. I spend minutes and moments in the waves, as Bob Proctor suggested to us, of grief, interference, anger, a need to be right, a need to be separate, a need to be inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, and guilty. Just minutes and moments, because I've learned to be at ease through the principles, through the foundational principles of Napoleon Hill and others that came from him. One of the things that people have to realize about Napoleon Hill and the Napoleon Hill Institute, and why I'm so passionate about making this my legacy alongside you, is that it's not just Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill was the seminal foundation for all personal development. If you like Dr. Wayne Dyer, go back to Napoleon Hill. If you like Neville Goddard, go back to Napoleon Hill. If you like Bob Proctor, go back to Napoleon Hill. If you like Tony Robbins, Dr. Joe Dispenza, Joe Vitale, David Meltzer, Ed Mylett, Tom Bilyeu, Matt Higgins, Mark Cuban, go back to Napoleon Hill, because that's where all of these different variant perspectives of the exact same foundational principles lie. So you might as well go to the source if you want to be a tremendous resource. And that's why this is our legacy, one in which I am pursuing my potential with, no matter what the circumstances are. It's non-negotiable in my life, and it should be in everyone else's that wants to accelerate, aggregate, and compound their passion, purpose, and profitability.
I'm muted. So that's, I was like, wow, that's what I call a burning desire on fire right here, right now. I hope you all felt that fire, because I feel it. It's energy. It's a frequency. You give off that certainty, like, this guy's going to do it. I believe him. He's going to do it. There's not an ounce of doubt in your field of the way you speak, the frequency you're giving off. This is incredible. And I believe you, and everybody watching this, I know you felt it. And since we're on that topic, there's so much I want to unpack. Everything leads back to the source, the founding father. That's why I'm doing this. You know, I could have built the little Cleona brand and did my little coaching thing, and that sounds lovely, you know, but you have an incredible brand on your own, and you have all these results and all this experience. So, and even Matt Higgins, I was talking to him the other day, he wrote the book, you know, Burn the Boats. And what's interesting is he never read Think and Grow Rich up until a couple of weeks ago. And he wrote Burn the Boats a couple of years ago, right? And I said, Matt, you're kidding me. You never read Think and Grow Rich? He said, no. I said, your book is the living, breathing example, modern day version of these principles applied with business examples up to date. And so he finally read it and he's like, holy smokes, you're right. I can't believe this. So it all goes back to the source. We all go back to the source, and I believe that's why we're doing this, David, together. And can you talk about, since you shared that so passionately, so beautifully, can you talk about investing energy? What is energy? When someone, we all have energy, how do we use it? How do we invest our energy, just like you just did?
I love it. So this is the paradigm shift of all my perspective, and I love to share it with people. Once I realized that we all have the exact same amount of infinite energy, and that everything in the infinite, everything is energy. And so many people are trying to figure out, how do I get Dave Meltzer's energy? How do I get more energy? How can I have positive energy? And all of these different things about energy, I love simple. And the simple truth that I have prescribed my own perspective to is that we live in a unified, abundant, infinite system of energy. And thought, by the way, is an energy. Beliefs are an energy. Feelings are an energy. Words are an energy. And actions are energy as well. Money is an energy. But we're in an infinite, abundant, unified system of energy, an infinite system of energy, more than enough of energy for everyone. No matter how it's materialized or monetized, there's more than enough of it for everyone. And so instead of trying to figure out how am I going to go get more of that energy, I suggest that you figure out what you're doing to interfere with it. What am I eating to interfere with it? What am I sleeping to interfere with it? What am I moving to interfere with it? What am I doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing to interfere with this infinite, abundant source of energy? And when you can shift your perspective and your paradigm to I am, what am I doing to interfere with it? I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? And then utilize the pragmatic principles, the pragmatic activities that so many of us have derived from my man right behind me there, the good-looking guy with the glasses, Napoleon Hill. When we can figure out the practices and create behaviors, notating, by the way, that behaviors are only determined by good or bad, by where you want to be or better. Good behavior is aligned with where you want to be or better. Bad behavior is interfering with it. My good behavior may be your bad behavior, and your bad behavior may be my good behavior, determined upon where you want to be and where I want to be. And so when we look within a unified, abundant, infinite system of energy, my suggestion is go back to this guy and figure out, through what I'm doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing, what am I doing to interfere with it, not trying to go get it.
Wow. Wow. Incredible. Incredible. Because there's an infinite supply. There's an infinite supply, just as you said. And so on that note, because this week is all about peace of mind and investing, redirecting our energy towards living, you know, getting rich. Of course, everybody should be rich. Everybody should have a lot of money. I really believe that, because the opposite, all of our energy is going there when we don't have money, right? We're our energy's focused on stressing over what we don't have, right? And our needs are not met. And last week or a couple of days ago, I was listening to a podcast by, you know, Stephen Bartlett, the CEO Diary of a CEO. And it was incredible. He was talking to Mr. Beast, you know, Mr. Beast, the famous YouTuber, right? They had a great discussion, and I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you as well, because I love studying the mind of every successful entrepreneur, philanthropist, and anyone in the industry especially. And he talked about, which was really kind of relieving for me in a sense, I'm new in the personal development industry compared to people like you. But he talked to Mr. Beast, and he said, you know, do you get hate, somewhere along those lines? And Mr. B said, yeah, the more good I do, he said, I get more and more hate and negative comments. But when I post about buying the car and the fancy house, then people love me. But when I talk about all the children I'm helping through ethical sourcing of his new chocolate, then I'm getting hate mail and so on. Can you talk a little bit about that energetically as well? And what does that even mean? Why does that happen? And how do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, for a much better perspective, I'm going to send people to my source before I answer this, because outwitting the devil is the Bible on understanding why we have opposition and why the stronger we are in our essence, the more people will unsubscribe or attack us. People unsubscribe and attack us because they're afraid, and they're afraid of themselves. And so I was blessed years ago to sit when my basement had a basement and realized that I didn't hate my own mother, my own father, my best friend, and certainly my wife. I hated myself. And I was attacking the people who love me most because they were telling me the truth. And they were trying to bring the best out of me. And I was afraid of the truth of who I actually was, that I wasn't living and taking stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. I remember my wife telling me that I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, or else she was going to leave me and take my children away from me if I couldn't live by what my mom taught me. And the thing that hurt the most was, as I was resisting her advice, when I was projecting my insecurity and telling her, I hate you, just as I had those other people who cared about me, not the people who were sucking up to me, telling me they love me, but the people that were unsubscribing to me, I reached out and elevated that. I remember she said, what if your mom knew what you truly were like? That sucked with me all night until I realized I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. So when people reach out to me and say, you stole gratitude, you're full of shit, you're this, I say, I can appreciate your perspective. Call me. I'd love to learn more why you think that. Now, the majority of people never call me. I give my cell phone, Cleona. You know that.
Yeah, you do.
phone. You know my cell phone number. I'm happy to give it to people. But what I think I do when I do that is I encourage people to look within themselves and say, I know others are mirrors of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Every time you tell me you don't like something about me, you're telling me that you have a lot of work to do because you really don't like yourself. And I take the same practice in mind. And so I rejoice in my unsubscribers, the haters, the attackers, because those are the people, just like the people who love me, that need my intention to help them to improve. Because there's one thing I know, hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
That if I pray for a hurt person's happiness, that's the best thing that I can do for them, not try to escalate or elevate the hurt that they're having and projecting onto me. And so I know that at Employee and Hill Institute, we believe in DEI, diversity, equity of opportunity, and inclusion, but I also am instituting DAI, which is diversity, appreciation, and inclusion, the appreciation of everybody's opinion. I don't live in the worry of this is what I want people to think I am. I live in the world of I am. What am I doing to interfere with it? And so when people think I am, I want to appreciate why they think I am, but I am and work towards I am more than I worry about what people think I am.
Yes, absolutely incredible. Everything that comes after I am, then that's what we become, right? And so you're putting all your focus and your attention on I am. And everyone is a mirror. So, and also, I think, and from Outwitting the Devil, I'm so glad that you said, let's go back to that to get our instructions, because that was one of the books. I don't know if you know this story, David, but real quick, when I started working for Bob, in the mail, I got Outwitting the Devil from Amazon to Cleona from Cleona. And I had just started working for Bob. I'm still, you know, I'm really sure it was Bob sending it secretly to me, but I can't confirm that. But in that book, Outwitting the Devil, and what you just shared as well, because if we're focused on I am, then we're just focused on our divine purpose. We're living on purpose. And do you feel that one of the main reasons people do project hatred, or, you know, the more we are in the public eye, the more of a target we can become to that type of nonsense. But do you think it's because they're not living on purpose as well?
Yeah, it's so interesting because this is the first time in human history that we have a total addressable community of billions of people. And so when we were in our own small tribes, our own small communities, our own small cities and counties, even 300,000 people, we actually, it bodes better for us not to actually live our lives as I am, because it would create so much interference and conflict. And so today, by this popularity, or if we have a greater awareness, a bigger community, it's just statistics, but I think it's duplicative or exponential in nature. What do I mean by that? And when I got to a point where there was millions of people in my community, there was a certain freedom that didn't exist when I went to high school, where I had to conform and worry about what people thought I was, or it would have interfered too much with where I wanted to be or better in the circumstances of being in high school. So I had to be concerned about what other people thought of me, or else I wouldn't be able to achieve what I wanted to achieve, because I would have had this interference or this time that would have been taken for people that would have made fun of me, scoffed at me, hated me. And so I think there's this conscious reality. But when you get to millions of people, not only do you have more people, obviously, that aren't going to like you just because there's more people that know of you, but even more importantly, the exponentiality occurs because you have so much more freedom when millions of people are in your community, because you have the security of so many people loving you no matter what, that you are encouraged to be I am even more and accept that this is what people think I am that isn't aligned with what I think I am. and feel encouraged knowing that what I am is more important than what people think I am.
Yes, I love that. I love that. It's none of our business, right? What other people think I am. Yeah, Bob always said that. It's none of your business.
What they think you are is none of your business, Dave. Because I was always frustrated. I'm doing my best. Why do they hate me?
Yeah.
What they think of you is none of your business. You know who you are. Keep doing what you're doing.
That's perfect. I love that. I just noticed the time because I'm so enjoying this and I totally lost track here. But let me ask you one quick question. I know you have to go, but just give everyone kind of a quick snapshot of your vision of where we're going at the Napoleon Hill Institute and what you're most excited about.
Well, we're thinking big. And so I know that we are only limited by our imagination, our self-image. So the first step in what I'm doing is re-engineering the self-image of Napoleon Hill Institute to a worldwide brand and legacy. And so the first objective of mine is to create a foundational business that can handle a worldwide movement based off of the seminal information of the very first personal development professors or guru to me that exists. And so the first step is to, one, change the imagination and the self-image of the Institute to a worldwide, unlimited, infinite source of information and inspiration and intuition. And then to provide the foundational structure in order to support that unbelievable, imaginative self-image of what is the world's greatest content to help people make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, completely aligned with my mission in life. Nothing is more in line. Nothing has had more of an impact and an inspiration than the Napoleon Hill Institute. So please join us as we work this movement worldwide. Help us to expand our imagination and our self-image. Capture as much of this content as you can. Modify it for every platform that exists today that did not exist back then. Amplify it everywhere. Share it, please, and then perpetuate it so we can create this unbelievable community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. I've never been more excited. And we are starting and prioritizing, by the way, the women's division and the corporate division, which go hand in hand. Within the corporate division, the women's division will participate. Obviously, one of my main objectives is to change the face of capitalizing women, and they're underfunded women. And I want to elevate their talents, their skills. Less than 3% of capital in America goes to women. And so in the corporate world, I want to encourage them to support women executives, women in their capital needs, all the things. So I think we work hand in hand, and the women's, obviously the fastest way to create this world movement is to take care of the people that have the most impact on the movement, which there's more women than men on earth. So there's billions and billions of women that can use our help, along with the majority of people who already get the majority of the help. We're still going to support you as well. So Cleona, I can't tell you how grateful I am for the opportunity to be the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute in the corporate global division. I'm here to be of service and of value. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till next year when we come back and everyone's like, wow.
Yes.
I never imagined how big this could be.
Yes, I agree. David, I'm honored. I'm humbled that I get to work with you, and I love you dearly. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll see everybody soon. Reach out, NapoleonHillInstitute.com.